Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Russell, as a Warrior fan, I would need Jarrett Culver coming back.
Ah.
That's fair. I think that. Why do you say that, Steve?
Well, you're giving up, a guy that's been an all-star, won games in the playoffs. So I think you want somebody back who can handle the ball, help run the offense, and he's a young prospect who could still probably help the team win next season.
What's your package, Steve? Not to put you on the spot, but let's say the Wolves say you can have Culver, whatever else you want for Russell. What's your ideal dream package you're getting back?
I would do Culver and Covington, and I would give up Russell and our young prospects, anybody the Timberwolves would want.
Thank you, GM Steve.
And there'd have to be more money, obviously, going back to the Warriors in that scenario with Culver, the sixth pick in the draft last year.
Yeah.
And, you know,
still a work in progress. Very talented.
But his salary with Covington's salary, I want to say that only adds up to maybe 16 or 17 million. Maybe 15 and 16 million, somewhere around there between the two of them. So you'd have to be sending another player the Warriors' way or multiple players to help offset the cost.
Yeah, but bottom line, the Warriors at this point not interested, right? Unless you can discuss Karl-Anthony Towns, we're not interested right now. And for the Timberwolves, well, we're not interested in trading you Karl-Anthony Towns. So that's why the report came out that the Timberwolves want D'Angelo Russell, but the talks have gone nowhere.
Yeah, discussions have yielded no traction. That according to Shams Charania of The Athletic in conjunction with John Krasinski, also of The Athletic, based in Minneapolis. The fact no traction. Well, no traction. It's easy to see where they would be at a stalemate with the Timberwolves saying, we want Russell, we want Towns. We don't really like anybody else on our roster. We'd like to completely start over with those two. So you can have anybody else you want on our roster. And the Warriors saying, well, the only guy we want off your roster is Karl-Anthony Towns.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, stalemate.
Maybe we can talk later.
No traction.
No traction.
No traction.
No traction.
You know what? Give us a call before the trade deadline, and we probably won't do anything then, but we can check in and see if you want to throw Mr. Towns in the conversation.
And who else have they asked about? According to reports, Minnesota has also asked about Holiday with Indiana. But he's pretty good. I don't know. Indiana's having a nice season. I'm not sure why they would want to make a trade.
Yeah, Pacers at 27-15. I don't know why. Yeah, I wouldn't.
Without
Oladipo,
they're having an unbelievable season.
They are. Some would say, what is it? A magical storybook season. Oh, wait, that was somebody else.
Special season.
Special. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Not magical.
Memphis is
not
having
storybook.
A special season.
It's getting closer. It's getting closer to that.
JD's mad because last week after the Warriors lost to Memphis, Steve Kerr said Memphis was having a special season, and JD just has a different definition of special season.
Yeah, I think at that point they were 17-22. I don't care that you won. I don't know what they won last year, 21
They were
games.
Supposed to win 17 all year.
Yeah, well.
That's what's special about
John Morant's pretty good.
Yes, he is.
And Jaren Jackson Jr.
and Valanciunas.
Valanciunas has been good, and Jaren Jackson Jr. has developed into something. Now, they've got some pieces. You actually, I think, said early in the year you thought they were doing it the right way. Like, they had pieces. Not that they were
coming together,
good, but you thought you could see something, maybe not this year, but next year or the following year.
Yeah, yeah. You could see how those things would fit together. Whoever put that team together, they had an idea what they were doing.
But here's the thing, for all the little things, 888-957-9570, for all the little things you talk about, what's the it always comes back to the big things. And what I mean by that is, here's Memphis right now in the eighth spot. They're 20-22. They got a two-game lead over San Antonio for that spot. When they were
What have they won in a row now?
They were four in a row.
Okay.
Actually, seven in a row. Okay. I'm sorry. I was looking at the Mavs. No, they've won seven in a row, 8 of 10. They're playing very, very, very well. John Morant's turning himself into a star. You know, there's all this kind of, how does a team go from bad to good, this and that and the other? John Morant, like right now, looks like a future star.
Yes.
To the level that other young players, you know, haven't exactly looked on some of these other different teams that are below them currently in the standings. All right. Connor Letourneau at 10:30. More of your phone calls straight ahead. It's Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
John Dickinson, Whitey Gleason, Connor Letourneau of The Chronicle in 10 minutes. Gary St. Jean's going to join us coming up in the 11 o'clock hour. The Warriors in the Orlando Magic. Whitey, I know you know, we've got Warriors Live for you at 4 and tip-offs at 5:30 with Tim Roy and Tom Tolbert on the call here at 95.7 The Game. I don't want to get too carried away with your keys to victory. We do that a little bit later on in the day. But
I can't divulge them yet.
You got a key matchup?
I'm contractually prevented from. I can't go there yet.
Okay.
I do have a great Orlando Magic trivia question.
Yeah,
that
go
I'm gonna,
for it.
All let's right,
go,
you
let's
sure?
go for that right now. Let's
okay.
just, yeah.
The Orlando Magic, there are 5 players in the Basketball Hall of Fame who at one point of their careers played for the Orlando Magic. I'll give you 3 because they're easy. Okay, 5 guys in the Hall of Fame played for the Magic. You got Tracy McGrady, you got Shaquille O'Neal, you got Grant Hill. Okay, who are the other 2? Now, they're definitely guys you've heard of, but the fact that they played for the Magic might make you go, wait, what? 5 players in the Basketball Hall of Fame who played for the Magic. McGrady, Grant Hill, Shaq, who are the other 2?
That's a tough one.
One guy played, I think, 60-something games with them. The other one played about 20.
Wow.
Yeah.
And in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah, and definitely. They're not like somebody you've never heard of. You've definitely heard of these guys. You just might not remember that they played for the Magic. And we should also mention, JD, if I may, talking about the Timberwolves and a potential trade. Timberwolves, they traded Jeff Teague. And they also traded Trevion Graham to the Hawks this week. In exchange for Allen Crabbe, who could be joining them this weekend. But that left the Timberwolves with only one true point guard on the roster, Shabazz Napier. So some were thinking, wow, they must think they can get a point guard, maybe D'Angelo Russell, very soon. There are others who think that Minnesota just really needed to get rid of Jeff Teague. That they just really wanted. He hasn't been a good fit there. He came in there under Thibodeau.
Jeff Teague's
a good player, but he hasn't quite fit there.
I think he's just... At this point, I think he signed with them, and he was a starting player, and I think now he's just a backup. I just think he's kind of declined to that point where if he's a starting point guard, it's going to have to be on a bad team. And I actually kind of like what Atlanta did there, getting him, and I know he played there before, obviously, but I think getting him as a backup, somebody that can just fill minutes in Trae Young's
He was
spot.
Part of that really good Atlanta team from a couple of years
when they
ago.
They had all the All-Stars, right?
Yeah, well, they had 5 guys that shared Player of the Week honors.
Yeah. Tre Rollins isn't a Hall of Famer, is he?
No, sir.
Okay.
No, he's not.
That was just one of the...
Right position.
I didn't think so.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. One of the guys is definitely... one of the guys... You're going to say, wait, they never played for the Magic, but they did. They did.
All right.
Yeah.
Warriors This Week, John Dickinson and Whitey Gleason here, 95.7 The Game. Did you see that Stephen Curry is still among the top in terms of jersey sales, the NBA jersey sales coming out, the rankings? Stephen Curry, 3rd. 3rd. How about that?
His brand is bigger than, obviously, this season, right? And he's still everywhere, and good for him. You know, you still watch NBA games, you still see the commercial where he's playing golf with his buddies. Where is that, by the way? What course is that? Because is that Lake Merced where he's playing there in that commercial? Anyway, Olympic Club. So, yeah, his brand is just a lot bigger than what he's doing this year.
LeBron, Giannis, Steph Curry. 4th is a bit of a surprise on that list.
Let me guess. Is it Gorgui Dieng?
It's not.
Oh.
It is not.
Who is 4th?
Jason Tatum.
Oh, okay.
That's a little bit of a surprise, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, a little bit.
Although, you know, if you're thinking about Celtics players, the Celtics' very popular brand, who would be their most likely player to have a jersey sold or, you know, jersey bought? And, I mean, if now that Kyrie Irving's not there, Kemba Walker moved the needle. It's Jason Tatum. He's been there.
What did you think
James
of what?
James Harden, 5th, by the way.
Okay.
And then next is Luka.
Is Durant still on the list, even though he's not playing this year?
Kevin Durant is 12th.
Okay.
So that Kevin Durant Brooklyn Nets jersey is 12.
What did you think of what Kyrie had to say this week? He walked it back a little bit, where he basically was asked about this year being a gap year for them, and he said, oh, there's a glaring need for another piece here. And, you know, he said, me and Kevin, and he named a few of the guys on the Nets and didn't name all of them, and some thought, wow, he's throwing his teammates under the bus. And he walked it back a little bit, but Kyrie Irving... Already people are going, look at that guy's not a leader. He's throwing his teammates under the bus. He says it was a little misconstrued.
Look, I know he's missed a lot of games.
Yeah.
But, I mean, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice. I mean, GFY, right? I mean, and to me, that's kind of where I'm at with Kyrie Irving. You go to the Celtics and you have a group of young players that play very well without you, and you come back and it's not quite what it was, and then you go to Brooklyn, and at least for this year, a bunch of young players that played really well with D'Angelo Russell, and they're not playing as well with you. And again, I know he's missed a lot of time, so it's not totally on him, but...
But that's the thing. When you've missed time, you can't come back and then say, yeah, we need another piece. That's why they got you and Kevin Durant. Unfortunate thing for Kyrie, I think playing with LeBron
they're in a very different spot than the Warriors are. Like, they thought, hey, we're going to win, we're going to be really good, and then get Kevin Durant. Like, they thought this was a 45-50 win team, I think, without Kevin Durant. Now, again, you look at their overall record, and they're 18-22, but Kyrie Irving's missed a ton of games.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's hard to totally make it about him, but he's just to your point, he's a bad leader.
He was in an ideal situation for him with Cleveland and LeBron because he didn't have to be that guy, but then he wanted so badly to be that guy and didn't want to be under LeBron's shadow or in LeBron's shadow that he ended up being exposed as a guy who's really not a leader.
No, and he's a guy that also, I think, got a little bit of false... He got a little false cred, I think, because he hit the shot against the Warriors. I think that
false
really,
cred. I mean, that was a pretty big shot.
No, but I mean, I think you get credit for making the shot and being a good player. But I think he got credit for being a champion and some of the things that go along with being a champion, which I think part of that is leadership. Hey, the second best player on a championship team, a guy good enough to be a number one on a team. Like, he gets credit for making the shot. I'm not saying that, but when you think of him as a champion. Yeah, he won one, and he was a big part of the reason why they won. I'm not taking that away from him per se, but how it plays toward
that hasn't really translated.
Forward.
Didn't translate in Boston, and it hasn't translated
so
far.
Exactly.
In Brooklyn, but that's still an open question.
So he's kind of a. I mean, look, he's. You know, I don't know. I mean, he has had some success. It's just weird. He just has to be, I think, the focus of everything. You know, all the time. Like, it's fine if he's there.
And then he complains about all the attention.
But it's fine when he's there, but then if you take him away and put him back, it gets weird. I don't know. He's just a weird guy. But he's one of these dudes that, you know, he hit a big shot, and he was the number one pick in the draft, and he's kind of a made dude. And then, like a lot of NBA players, he's just a little too cool for everything moving forward.
Following Wednesday's loss to the Sixers, Irving told reporters that he felt it was, quote, glaring, end quote, that the Nets, quote, need one or two more pieces to complement, end quote, himself, Kevin Durant, DeAndre Jordan, Garrett Temple, Spencer Dinwiddie, and Caris LeVert. So those guys he mentioned, he said, it's glaring, we need two more pieces. So if you're not one of those guys, how are you supposed to react to that? Now he says he talked to his teammates, and we're all good, and people are making too much of this.
Let's go to Rudy in Richmond. Rudy, you're on Warriors This Week here before we get to Connor Letourneau. Hey, Rudy.
Hey, what's going on?
What's up, Rudy? You wanted to try the trivia question?
Yeah.
All right, what do you got?
Patrick Ewing and Dominic Wilkins.
That is exactly
right. Wow, excellent.
Well done.
That is excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent job, Rudy.
Yeah,
Rudy. Appreciate it.
Yeah. The five.
I wish we had a prize for Rudy, but we don't.
Hey, he got his name on the radio. Yeah. Way to go, Rudy. The five guys in the Hall of Fame who played for the Orlando Magic, Shaq, Grant Hill, McGrady, Patrick Ewing, and Dominic Wilkins.
That's pretty good. Yeah, Patrick Ewing. For some reason, I was wondering if Robert Parrish played for them. I know he was the answer to another trivia question about Charlotte Hornets.
Yeah, he played for
in the Hall of Fame. But I was wondering, did he play for Charlotte and Orlando? He actually played for Chicago at the end.
Chief. Yeah, that's well done. So the Orlando Magic don't have anybody like that right now, but they do have Vucevic, and they're actually a really good defensive team. Not a big fan of their orange and gray uniforms.
No,
those aren't their team colors.
Those are hideous, and yeah, those should be outlawed.
Yeah. Did you ever watch?
But that's very different than the Miami Vice jerseys.
Did you ever watch Game of Thrones? Whether you watched it or not. Back in that day, you know, when armies would be marching or the king would be marching, they had their banners and they'd hold them up so that, you know, whoever saw them approaching knew who that was.
So it's like teams are like that now. Your colors are sacred, right? Your team colors. So when you're changing your team colors, how do we even know who you are? Well, you're trying to be the Phoenix Suns? I don't understand that. The Mavericks, too, what they wore last night. The colors are Maverick colors, but they have those, some of the city editions are really weird this year, JD. I'm sorry.
Yeah, they really are. I know Sacramento was wearing red, bright red.
What is that?
I don't know. They at one point were red, white, and blue as far as their primary colors, but they never wore a red jersey.
Right.
They never, ever wore a primarily red jersey.
Aren't your team colors almost sacred? You can mix them around a little bit, emphasize this or that, but when you add new ones, you've lost me, Orlando Magic. You have lost me.
All right, let's get to our first guest on the program, and it's a pleasure to be joined, as always, by Connor Letourneau, covers the Warriors for the Chronicle. Connor, how are you? Thanks for coming on.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
How much, looking at Klay Thompson getting his jersey retired and Stephen Curry going up to Pullman to be a part of that night with him, what's your sense? And I know you got a chance with the other guys down there to talk to him a little bit about it the other night. What's the sense of how much that means to Klay?
I think it means a lot to him. I wrote a longer story yesterday just about his college years and why Klay and Pullman are kind of a perfect marriage. Klay is a guy who's very quiet, kind of a deep thinker, knows how to make his own fun. He's always kind of been averse to the limelight and the fame that comes with being an NBA All-Star. And in Pullman, he was able to kind of get off the grid, be kind of in the middle of nowhere and focus on his game and just hang out with his friends. And I think it made a lot of sense. It also gave him an opportunity to prove his doubters wrong, because people might forget now, but this is a guy who wasn't super highly touted. His only offer from a Pac-10 school was Washington State. So he had grown up wanting to go to a UCLA or a USC, but neither of them recruited him. And so he went to Washington State and kind of got to show those schools what they missed out on. And so it was a cool story, and I'm really happy for him, and I know he's really going to enjoy today.
Connor, we talk a lot on this show, of course, this year especially, about trade rumors. And I know you were sharing with JD and I before the Bucks game that the piece you wrote about Giannis, and even though you think the whole thing is far-fetched, a lot of interest in that story, right? You said there was just a ton of clicks, so there's a lot more people reading that story about Giannis than your typical 2019-2020 Warrior story that you'd written this year?
Right, yeah, it was one of my most read stories all year, and I think part of it's just you get Warriors and Giannis in the headline, and that's gonna be crazy. But I do think the reason I wrote it was because I think there's some legitimacy in just exploring that possibility. Because if there's one thing that we've learned about the Warriors, it's that they're going to explore every option. They're going to explore every path to adding talent. And there's no bigger talent in the league right now than Giannis. And I do think that there is a world where that could happen. And that story kind of explored the different paths to make that happen. But that being said, it would take a lot. The bottom line is you would almost definitely have to get rid of Klay. You'd have to trade Klay and either D'Lo or Draymond. So I know specifically with Klay, that would be really hard to see people to see him go. But hey, you got to give up talent to get talent. And Giannis is quite a talent.
Yeah, he definitely is. And aside from that and what the Warriors would give up, I mean, isn't the bigger part of it? I mean, Giannis would have to say, I want out, and I specifically want to go there. I mean, that's the other half of this, right?
Exactly. Yeah. The big question is he going to want to return to Milwaukee? Because if he wants to return to Milwaukee, then, the Warriors have no chance. He's just going to resign. The Milwaukee can pay him the most. He'll just return on a supermax deal, and that'll be that. But if he decides he doesn't want to go to Milwaukee, if for some reason the Bucks completely tank in the playoffs or something like that, and he decides they don't really have what it takes to win a title, then he might start looking elsewhere. And I do think that if that happens, that the Warriors have as good of a chance as anybody, given his relationship with Steph, given what the Warriors have done over the past half decade. And given that it would be a situation where I do think if Giannis is added to that roster, they would have enough to at least contend for an NBA title. He would need to want to leave Milwaukee, but I do think the Warriors would have a good chance if he decided to do that, and that's a big if, of course.
Connor Letourneau from The Chronicle with us on Warriors This Week. We know that Minnesota has interest in D'Angelo Russell, and I can see how they would, you know, imagine him being almost like James Harden in the Houston offense. He would have that kind of role with Minnesota. But do you think there's any way the Warriors would consider sending Russell to Minnesota for anything less than a package that included Karl-Anthony Towns?
I wouldn't say it's 100% that they wouldn't trade him for a package that didn't include Karl-Anthony Towns, but just looking at what would be feasible, it's hard to imagine a scenario where they pull the trigger. I don't think, you know, I know Andrew Wiggins has had kind of a resurgent season and has played well for them and quieted some of his doubters, but I still don't think the Warriors are huge fans of him, and I don't think if he was the centerpiece of a trade that they would sign off on that. And then a lot of people have mentioned Robert Covington. Robert Covington is a good player, but he's not close to D'Angelo Russell. He's a good, you know, complimentary piece who had a couple good years in Philadelphia, but I haven't been super impressed with what he's done with Minnesota. So it doesn't seem like a natural fit to me. Obviously, Minnesota, I think the big reason why they want D'Lo is he's best friends, and I mean truly best friends in life, with Karl-Anthony Towns, and they want to keep Karl-Anthony Towns long-term, and they believe that if they bring D'Lo into the fold, that'll help their chances of keeping Karl-Anthony Towns, which is, you know, smart on their part, but I just don't know if the Warriors would be willing to do that.
Connor Letourneau, The Chronicle, joining us here on 95.7 The Game. John Dickinson, Whitey Gleason, it's Warriors This Week. Here until noon on 95.7 The Game. Connor, how, though, in your mind, would just the Timberwolves' interest and continued interest, according to the reports, in Russell potentially help the Warriors if they look for another avenue to maybe improve the team in the offseason?
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to know from the Warriors' perspective that that there is a team out there that really, really, really wants your guy. That interest is well known and out there. That the Warriors can use that to their advantage, and the Warriors have been good at that historically. So, you know, kind of leveraging things. So I still don't feel like D'Angelo is going to be on the team next season. You know, I don't think he's a phenomenal fit with Steph, and this is still Steph's team, and so it'll be interesting to see what happens when Steph comes back from the hand injury. I expect him to come back sometime in March, and so when he comes back, the question will be, can they coexist at all? And if not, the Warriors will actively be looking at trade scenarios, and you know, maybe there's a three-team trade involving Minnesota. Maybe there's something a little bit more complex that's not just a straight up deal with Minnesota. So there's options, and the Warriors will look into all.
Connor, something happened Thursday that I think last year would have been a huge story. This year, not too many people are talking about it, but Draymond visibly angry at D'Lo after Russell failed to hustle back on a Plumlee bust out. Is that significant at all?
I don't think so. I do think that in general, a lot of, especially in the past few years when Draymond would snap on a player in a game and the player would get upset and that would become a big story. I did feel like those stories were often overblown. I mean, Draymond snaps on guys all the time. And just because D'Lo's an all-star does not mean he's going to hold back on him. And I don't get the sense that there's any tension between them or issues between them. I think that they understand, you know, that it was just kind of the nature of that game. But, you know, the reality is I think D'Lo does need to improve in certain more nuanced aspects of the game. And I think
it's probably good for him to have Draymond there to remind him of that.
Yeah, and maybe not so much the specific relationship, Connor, between the two players, but is that, you know, just Draymond's reaction to that play more indicative of some of the issues that may be in play as far as, you know, keeping Russell around in the future, just as far as fit and, you know, things that can't happen if you're going to be a championship level team again?
Yeah, I do think that for D'Lo to be a long-term fit, he needs to be a better defender, and he needs to be a little bit more active on the boards and do more of those things that don't just involve breaking your guy down off the dribble. Because, you know, if he's playing alongside Steph, you know, who is the weak point in that backcourt defensively? Because they're both pretty weak defensively. So that's, to me, even a bigger question than how they coexist offensively. So I haven't seen him make the strides defensively this season that you would hope to see from him. Now, it's been a difficult situation. He's been dealing with several injuries that have sidelined him, and I think it's been hard for him to get a rhythm at times on that side of the ball. But, you know, they would like to see more from him, just in terms of whether or not he can be a long-term fit for sure.
Connor, we believe the Warriors are doing their due diligence, keeping an eye on certain situations around the league, situations that may result in a star player wanting out or asking out. So if we accept that as the premise, is it fair to say they're probably keeping an eye, and they're not the only team doing this, but keeping an eye on Philly and Ben Simmons, Milwaukee and the Giannis situation, Minnesota, Karl-Anthony Towns, and Washington and Bradley Beal? Would that be an accurate short list in your estimation of teams?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, okay.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's every front office, every NBA front office is doing that. That's a big part of what these guys are paid to do, is just check in on situations, monitor situations. You know, there's only a handful of trades that might get done over the course of a year, but they're busy every single day monitoring and doing their research and getting background information and studying up on guys. And so, you know, that story from The Athletic a couple weeks ago that mentioned that the Warriors were monitoring Karl-Anthony Towns, that obviously blew up into a big story, and I was getting all these questions about trade scenarios and what have you. And I'm thinking, look, nothing against the story or the reporter or anything like that, but that – anyone could say that. I mean,
right,
they're monitoring Karl-Anthony Towns just like they're monitoring Brad Beal and just like they're monitoring everyone else, because that's how the NBA works.
Yeah, the story was Towns is unhappy. Well, of course he was, because they were losing and the Warriors were monitoring the situation. Well, of course they were, right? Yeah, really nothing to see there.
Right, right. And I understand why, you know, it blew up, because any little morsel of a tidbit that could lead to trade speculation, fans are going to seize on. So I get it. But from my perspective, it was like kind of a non-story.
Connor, great stuff as always. We really appreciate it. And we'll see you tonight.
All right. Really appreciate it, guys.
All right,
Take it easy. Connor Letourneau, The Chronicle, joining us here on Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game. We thank him for his time. We also reopen up the phone lines at 888-957-9570. That's 888-957-9570, Whitey Gleason.
Yes, it is. So Giannis, maybe probably not going to happen with Minnesota unless they're willing to part company with Karl-Anthony Towns, Bradley Beal.
Or D'Lo, right? You said Giannis.
I know
it's, you got Giannis on the brain, but yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, we know what you mean, but yeah.
No,
you said Giannis not likely to happen with Minnesota.
Right,
yeah,
right.
But D'Lo.
Okay, Karl-Anthony Towns not likely to happen, yeah.
Right.
Thanks,
right.
Bruce.
Yeah, Giannis, I think there, and so did Connor said, there's a chance. The Giannis thing, there's a chance.
Always good to have Bruce chime in to keep us.
Absolutely.
Keep us straight.
He's not doing anything else these days. Why not?
Yeah, I think he's considering some options. I just have a feeling his wife's like, no way. No way. You're not doing that.
My point is, do we need to add Bradley Beal to this list today, right? That's one thing
I would add Bradley Beal to the list, but I would draw, like, you know, you maybe not a firm solid line, but like a dotted line. Like if you have your first category and then you draw like a dotted line, and then Bradley Beal would be kind of at the top of that underneath the dotted
line. Who else is on your list? Simmons? Giannis?
Yeah, Simmons and Towns. Those guys would all be in the top tier.
Is Embiid on your list? Because he's Embiid, not on mine.
I'm going to put Embiid on the list. Yeah. Because to me, it's first and foremost, you would want a center or a small forward. And I know Ben Simmons is a point guard, but Ben Simmons has a small forward body.
Yeah, he's a hybrid.
So he could. You've got that kind of body, and you can defend, and you've got that length, and you're that smart in terms of, you know, passing ability and skilled. I don't care if he can shoot or not. He'd be a fit.
But would you want Giannis if you had to give up Clay, as Connor
says? No, absolutely not.
Huh.
Absolutely not. And I think that is the big, you know, it's kind of like the conversation we're having right now, Whitey, about the Timberwolves and the Warriors and the Timberwolves being interested in D'Angelo Russell. Well, price of admission for a deal in terms of what the Timberwolves are thinking is anybody except Towns. Well, price of admission for the Warriors is it's got to be Towns. To me, if you're the Warriors and the Giannis option is out there, it's Steph and Clay and Giannis.
Mm-hmm.
You want those three together. Everybody else at that point would become an option.
So Minnesota's trying to sell you on this this Andrew Wiggins. Boy, this kid. Huh?
Right, and if I'm the Warriors...
This Maple Jordan, I tell you, we hate to part ways with him, but, boy, you drive a hard bargain, Bob Myers.
And look, if you're the Warriors, the pitch to Milwaukee, if Milwaukee, again, is saying, or if Giannis is saying to Milwaukee, I want out and want to go there, the pitch to Milwaukee at that point is Draymond and Russell and the first-round pick and whatever
Clay,
else you want that's not Clay or Steph.
Clay.
No. You want Steph, Clay, and Giannis. Because that's you need the two shooters with him, and then you have him. And look, I would love to have Draymond, too.
But the trick of that is...
Giannis would almost in some ways become your Draymond in terms of your defensive anchor.
I know we're way down the path here, but if it came to that, presumably the Warriors are competing with other teams. So, you know, it's not just, this is what we'll give you, okay? Then we'll just trade Giannis somewhere else. So that's where it gets tricky from the Warriors' perspective. That's why they may have to part company. They may have to trade away a guy they didn't want to because they're going to be competing. They're going to be trying to outbid other teams for Giannis. Giannis isn't a free agent yet.
No, he's not. But again, he could put himself in a spot where he could say, all right, I want to go there. By the way, Karl-Anthony Towns played last night.
Yeah, I know. He played pretty well.
For the first time, I think, since December the 17th.
And they came up just short. They lost to the Pacers, right?
Yeah. Let's get to the phones. Is it Srini? Srini, you're on 95.7 The Game. Srini in San Carlos.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hello.
I'm just listening to the show long week and always enjoy your show. So,
thank you.
Keep up the good work. The thought I was wondering about was we're talking about potential trades and such and where D'Lo could go. But, you know, I'm genuinely puzzled by that a little bit because we haven't had a full-strength team play yet, right? We haven't had Steph, Clay, Dre with this new-look roster play together yet. So how do we know what we have is not good enough? And I think back to the 2015 team, right? And they went all the way through. So just wondering what you guys, where you guys would land on that.
Yeah, I think it's a fair thing to bring into the conversation, but here's the timeline of it. Are the Warriors going to be able to see the three of them play together at all this year, one? And then the second part of that is, are they going to see them at all long enough to make a firm decision? And is that something you're willing to have trickle into next year? For me personally, if you're wavering at all, I don't think you want to have it trickle into next year because you want to have the team. Like, you don't want to, well, maybe Russell and Clay and Steph and Draymond and you'll see how it goes and maybe reevaluate at the deadline. You don't want next year to be a maybe year. You want next year to be, no, this is our team.
Your pieces in
this
place.
This is how good we think we can be. Guys are going to show up after having an extended offseason compared to the last 5 years. And this is the team. And you very specifically and meticulously went out and got pieces that make you a championship team. And they're going to show up for training camp at the end of September. And it is freaking go time. It is getting everybody on the same page with that system, getting everybody healthy and ready to roll, and let's vault to be in a top three or four team in the Western Conference that can contend for a championship. It's not, well, we're going to see how it goes, and if it works out one way, great. If it doesn't, we'll look at options. You start doing that, next year, and you're not going to win it. You're not going to be contending for a championship. That's how you become a six seed next year and wind up maybe winning a round and you're done.
Sreeney asked the question, since D'Lo hasn't been able to play much with Steph, he hasn't played at all with Clay, how do you know whether he's a good fit or not? A fair question. You may not have the opportunity, as you say, JD, you may not have the chance to see D'Lo play with either one of those guys before the season ends. So based on what you already know and what you've seen, I think the evidence suggests he's not a fit. And I think there's evidence to support the view that he's not a good fit at both ends. We know that defensively, we knew coming here he's not a very good defender. He's not always a willing defender. So you've got that. And defense was the foundation of the Warriors' success. Offensively, he needs the ball a lot. And I'm not saying he's selfish. Some guys need the ball a lot to be effective. And he's one of those guys. How often is he going to have the ball if he's playing with Steph and Clay? You don't want him to have the ball all the time. So that's not a good fit. So, yeah, it'd be great if you have a chance to have them play together more. You may not have that chance based on what you know so far. I think you'd have to lean towards trading him. And just back to the defense for a second, we saw this early in the year. If your starting backcourt is Steph Curry and D'Angelo Russell, you're in trouble. That's a bad defensive backcourt.
Chilton Autobody text line 510, Warriors need to find a third team for assets.
There you go.
If Towns is not in the mix, but also get the Minnesota pick. So if Minnesota wants Russell and you don't love their talent, like to me it would almost, and that is an interesting way to look at it. If you decide Towns is not going to be part of the deal because Minnesota wants to pair Towns with Russell and you're the Warriors and you're going to make a trade with Minnesota.
And you're underwhelmed by Wiggins
and you don't love
Wiggins.
You don't want Wiggins. I would see a scenario where it's maybe you do want Covington. Because Covington of all the players that's not really of any player that's not Towns on that Timberwolves roster.
Because he does fit.
He does
the way
fit.
You
could plug him in and be your starting three, and he would be, an upgrade at this point. Now you would like Covington and Glenn Robinson the third potentially, and then maybe somebody else. Yeah, you'd like that as a three headed monster of guys that could play the three and maybe the four. So Covington is somebody that I would want. If you don't want anybody other than Towns, that Minnesota's first round pick is something that to me would have to be in play, and then you start to look at maybe getting other teams involved.
Hmm. But the Warriors, the value of draft picks right now is to trade them, right? I mean, they may have the first pick.
And the Warriors at that point could have two picks that they could flip.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe two top 10 picks that they could flip, because I'm looking at the standings here. Minnesota did lose that game last night. Minnesota's 13th in the West.
I know. But they are getting Cat back.
Yeah, they are getting Karl Anthony Towns
back. And
they
did get him back, to your point. Yeah,
last night. But they are 15-26, which is tied for 13th. They do have a head-to-head win over Sacramento, who's all the way down in 14th place. And boy, that is not a good situation either, really, in either of those places. The Pelicans are on the ascent. They've won 7 of the last 10. But they are right there with that group of Minnesota and Sacramento, 16-26 overall. I think the Pelicans, and I know I've said this, I still think they could make a run toward the 8th spot.
I'm really looking forward to Zion coming back this week, right? The
23rd? Wednesday, I believe, the 22nd. Okay. And how about that? The NBA, two different times, flexed that specific slot. The Warriors take on the Jazz on Wednesday night at Chase Center, and originally that game was going to be the national game. Early start time on Wednesday, 7 o'clock for ESPN. ESPN flexed out of that game, and they moved Denver and Houston into that slot on that night instead of the Warriors-Utah game, right? The Warriors have had a number of games that the networks have flexed out of.
Joe Ingles fans will not be happy.
So Denver and Houston replace the Warriors and Jazz. Well, now that it's been announced that Zion Williamson's going to make his debut on January the 22nd, this coming Wednesday, ESPN flexed out of the Denver-Houston game.
Smart.
For the San Antonio-New Orleans game.
Great.
So
yeah.
Zion comes back.
That's
so, but that is the second time that they flexed out of that specific slot, which originally was the Warriors and the Jazz.
Perhaps Zion single-handedly can help improve NBA TV ratings. Speaking of TV, you know that
the playoffs are getting closer because today ABC begins their Saturday showcase games. There's actually two ABC games on today.
One the Lakers-Houston, I know, was one.
And they have one today. Is it the Clippers are playing this afternoon on ABC, which is kind of a scheduling oddity.
Really?
Yeah.
The Clippers are playing, aren't they playing the Pelicans? I think they're playing the Pelicans today in New Orleans, right?
Yeah, 3:30, 12:30 our time on ABC today.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Isn't that odd?
That is a little bit of a surprise. And I think, the Pelicans, one of their wins actually earlier in the year, they beat the Clippers. But yeah, that is odd. I saw that and I thought, wasn't that strange that that game is at that time? But here we are. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Warriors this week, we roll on here on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Warriors this week on 95.7 The Game.
John Dickinson, Whitey Gleason, final hour. Warriors this week here on 95.7 The Game. Warriors and the Magic coming up tonight at 4 o'clock this afternoon. 4 o'clock Warriors live.
Nice.
Jim Barnett.
Looking forward to it.
Will be joining us at Chase Center. We'll be breaking down all things Warriors and Magic. And you got to check out the injury report for the Warriors these days every day. The shorthanded Warriors are back again while they're playing shorthanded every night. No Draymond Green tonight. Draymond Green, Purdy.
Did he get his feelings hurt by what Barkley said about him? Is that why he's not playing?
The triple single.
Yeah.
Draymond Green, he's been a little tired of late, but he is officially out tonight with a finger sprain.
Okay.
A finger sprain.
So just Draymond's out tonight.
Draymond's out, and there is more.
There's more?
Yeah, Glenn Robinson III is questionable. Tweaked his ankle late in the game on Thursday night against Denver. So Glenn Robinson III, questionable.
That's
Draymond
too bad.
Glenn
Robinson had 17 points, 6 of 10 shooting against the Nuggets. So that's too bad. He had 3 of 5 threes. He had 3 assists and 6 rebounds. That's too bad.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. It is Warriors this week here at 95.7 The Game. That's where Dave checks in. Dave, you're on Warriors this week. Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Regarding D'Lo, I consider D'Lo the 2020 Monte Ellis rental. He is an exciting player to watch on a bad team, and along with Eric Paschal and potential Jordan Poole and Smiley Geek sightings, he's a reason to turn on the games. But he does not fit with this team long term. With his salary, you cannot bring him off the bench. And then, people saying, well, you can move Clay to the three. Well, Clay's a future Hall of Famer. He is not going to change positions for D'Angelo Russell. It's kind of like Buster Posey on the Giants. He may move to first base for Joey Bart someday, but he's not changing positions for anybody else. So you have to deal him. I would trade him for Wiggins straight up. I don't know. I haven't heard this one mentioned. I don't know if Boston would be interested or if he fits, but I'd trade him straight up for Gordon Hayward. So I would package him and deal him because it was only 4 or 5 games, but you could just see he does not fit with Steph. And I would hate to see Clay change positions for D'Angelo Russell. So anyway, those are my thoughts. Interested in getting yours.
Thanks, Dave. I think that is really well said and great comparison, I think. Although we are in the era of positionless basketball, I'm with Dave on that. I mean, do you want Clay Thompson playing the three because you're going to put D'Angelo Russell in the starting lineup? I personally don't. Now, could Clay play some small ball three?
He'd have to guard the other team's three.
Yeah, could he? I think he could, sure. But then you've got Stephen Curry and D'Angelo Russell on the floor as well. So, you can scheme up a defense to make up for maybe one of those two. And look, Steph is a vastly – you shouldn't even put Steph and D'Lo in the same category defensively. I mean, Steph is a much more willing, defender by comparison. But to me, you could do that at times in games, have Clay play the three, but I just wouldn't want to start and play that way primarily. And look, the Warriors' biggest deficiency on their roster still is the fact that they don't have really a three-man at all other than Glenn Robinson III. So I think it's interesting. Gordon Hayward I like a lot. I don't think you would have a Russell for Hayward straight up. That would be a three-way deal of some sort. That would be maybe Russell goes to Minnesota, maybe Covington goes to the Celtics, and Hayward comes to the Warriors. But I would, you know, I know you're making that list. I would put Hayward in the Bradley Beal category.
Unrestricted free agent 2021, Gordon Hayward. I've been checking his contractual particulars because I do see him as being a good fit. It just, he makes so much money,
but
and
only
he gets hurt a lot.
One more year.
Yeah. I just don't think there's any way Boston would want D'Angelo Russell. They're really
no
happy with.
Three-way deal, though.
Yeah.
I think.
Kemba. And yeah, as far as
you can't have Russell and Kemba.
No.
Sorry to jump in on you.
No, that's fine. I agree with you. And Dave saying he would do D'Lo for Wiggins. It doesn't appear the Warriors have any interest in that. Doesn't look like they have a lot of interest in Wiggins, which is very interesting.
Yeah, and you know, I know we
maybe they're wrong and Dave's right, but that appears to be where they are.
And the reason we're bringing this all up again is the report that surfaced this week from The Athletic, Shams Charania, and also John Krasinski, who's based in Minneapolis. He's covered the Timberwolves there and other Minnesota sports for quite some time. They write, new team president Gerson Rosas and the rest of the front office actively pursuing deals on a number of fronts to try and remake the roster to better fit the vision for the team moving forward. Now, Whitey, you've astutely pointed out that Rosas comes from Houston. And anytime there's a Houston comparison as it pertains to D'Angelo Russell, it is the could D'Angelo Russell be some sort of a James Harden
type of player.
He didn't
just work. I mean, he wasn't just down the hallway. I mean, he worked with Morey in putting that team together.
Right. So in terms of trying to remake the Timberwolves roster, it sounds at this point as if the Timberwolves would be willing to move anybody on that team they possibly could other than Karl-Anthony Towns in an attempt to get D'Angelo Russell in the fold with them. Continuing with this report, Timberwolves intensifying their pursuit of Warriors guard D'Angelo Russell, though discussions have yielded no traction, according to their sources. Warriors have been inclined to keep Russell. Of course, Russell and Karl-Anthony Towns are friends.
Yeah, and I don't blame Minnesota. I think in that system or a similar system, I think Russell could end up thriving and he'd end up with more value than he has right now. So Minnesota's thinking, wow, we get this guy for what he's worth now. He's going to be worth a lot more than that. You know, that's what teams are always trying to do, outdo each other with the deals, and the Warriors just not interested.
Well, look, nobody thought James Harden was going to be James Harden when Houston signed him originally.
No one had any idea. I mean, he's doing historic things, at least numbers-wise. One more quick point. We're talking about Gordon Hayward because Dave brought him up. He does have a player option. My understanding is next year he has a player option for $34.18 million. So I would assume he would keep that, but he could opt out after this year, Gordon Hayward.
John Dickinson, and Whitey Gleason, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. One more thing about trades. We've been talking a lot about trades today. Was it last week we were talking about, or the week before? Hey, Andre Drummond, looks like Detroit wants to trade him and Atlanta's interested. Again, we're hearing no traction on Andre Drummond trade talk. So right now it appears that even Atlanta has decided, okay, never mind. Because he's a guy who's going to be a free agent.
Yeah, and Atlanta trying to get bigger, I think, in the short term and in the long term.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.